Hi there, and welcome back to the Student Loan Show. This is Jay Fleischman, and we are recording this the day after Easter. So if you celebrated Easter, I hope your Easter was good. And if you celebrate Passover, then your Passover is ongoing. So I hope it is continuing to be good for you and your family. And of course, if you don't celebrate either, I hope you just had a couple of good weeks off, and I want to thank you for being here with me. Today, what I want to talk to you about are the things that you should be doing before you take out a private student loan. Private student loans are these great animals because they don't involve the federal government whatsoever. You go into a private bank, you make an application, and you can borrow up to the total cost of attendance less your other financial aid received. First, let's talk about total cost of attendance because it's pretty important when you're figuring out your numbers. Your total cost of attendance is the average cost to attend one academic year, fall through spring, of an undergraduate or graduate institution. It includes tuition and fees, books and supplies, room and board, transportation, and personal expenses. And colleges adjust the cost of attendance annually to reflect changes to these costs. So if the average cost of books goes up, supplies, room and board, if local transportation goes up, if the cost of gas goes up, things like that, that's going to serve to increase the total cost of attendance. So when you're talking about private student loans, they allow you to borrow up to the total cost of attendance that's established by your school minus your other financial aid received. And that's going to include your Stafford loans, through the federal direct loans, under the Stafford loans. It's going to include your Pell Grants or any other grants or any other scholarships. So all of those things get taken off the top of the total cost of education, and whatever's left over, you can take out in a private student loan. And so it allows you to fill in the gap. But unfortunately, that the cost of filling in the gap is going to be a lot more expensive typically than any other means of getting money. I've seen private student loans that I've seen 12.5% recently. So I've seen 12.5%, I've seen 15 or 16%, and most private student loans, the interest rate varies. It's an adjustable interest rate. So the interest rate is going to go up or theoretically go down, though I've never seen it go down. It's going to adjust up or down year by year. So even if you take out a private student loan now, and even if it's at, I don't know, 6%, next year it could be 8%. The year after that, it could be 12%. Now, there may be a cap on how high it can go, but you get the picture. You can really sign for a loan now and have no idea how much it's going to cost you. In addition, those private student loans, they don't come with any of the federal plans that we know about. It doesn't come with income-based repayment. It doesn't come with the possibility of student loan forgiveness. It doesn't come with any benefits that may be available to you as a teacher or as a veteran or a member of the military. Any of those things just doesn't exist. There are no forbearances. There are no deferments. So on and on and on. You're really at the mercy of the private lending institution. So what you want to do is you really want to get your money someplace else before you go down the road of the private student loan. So let's talk about some of the things that you should do before you hit up the private student loans. The first thing that you want to do is you want to go out and you want to start looking for grants and scholarships. Student grants are monetary gifts to people who are pursuing higher education. But unlike student loans, because so far it sounds like it's a student loan, well, it's money and it's for my higher education, but unlike student loans, grants don't require repayment. Grants are given to you. Sometimes it's based on your race, sometimes it's based on your location, sometimes it's based upon the course of study that you're going to be pursuing, sometimes it's based upon your nationality or your parents or their affiliations, religion, any of these things. There are grants for anything. There really are. And I'll throw a link in the show notes to some places where you may be able to find some grants because it's a really good starting point. Also, there are scholarships. Scholarships are for people who are pursuing certain courses of study. Most of the time, it's going to be contingent upon you keeping a certain grade point average or engaging in certain extracurricular activities. So one of the big things that you think about for scholarships is the scholarship for sports. That's kind of the big thing. So, but there are sports scholarships and there are academic scholarships and there are scholarships through various organizations. And you really want to look into those because that's free money. That's money that so long as you meet their criteria, you're never going to have to pay back. So free money is good. That's the first thing that you're going to do. You're going to look for that free money. Look, see if your school, if your state, if other organizations are in a position to offer scholarships or grants. Also, if you've got any connection with the military or are willing to establish a connection with the military, there are some educational benefits there. So military service, there's educational support offered by the military, there are educational programs for veterans. So depending upon whether that's something that you feel like you want to do, I understand that some people don't, some people do, but that may be a way to get yourself some free money to be able to fund your higher education without going down the road of the private student loan. So that's the first one. Apply to grants and scholarships. Second one, think about working part-time. Think about working part-time. Now, you want to balance your work hours with your studies, but there are always going to be job opportunities either through work-study programs. You could talk to your financial aid office about that. There are going to be those work-study programs. There's always the college student job on or off campus. And it's not going to make you a ton of money, but even if it makes enough money to cover your books and supplies, or it covers your gas costs, or it pays for your food and entertainment during the weekends and at nights, that's really going to go a long way to bringing down the amount of money that you need to be able to live on. So it's going to minimize those expenses that you've got to go out of pocket for because you've got a job and you've got money coming in. And so you'll be in a position to maybe not have to rely so much on those private student loans. So consider a part-time job. And a lot of people will say, look, I don't want a job. I'm here to study. I'm here to work. I'm here to do my best. I'm here to excel. But if you think about it, you're not in school, in class, or studying 40 hours a week. You're just not. And I don't care how many classes you take, and I don't care how much work each class gives you. You're just not going to be in school that much. You're not. There's a lot of time in college that's just hanging out. It is. And it's a great social experience, no question about it. But that doesn't mean that you can't take 10 hours a week and get a job, or 20 or 15 hours a week, maybe not any more than that, but 10, 15 hours a week, even if you're making 10, 12 bucks an hour on the low side of things, you're still making $100 a week, $5,200 a year. That's gonna go towards your books or your tuition, or maybe your tuition, or your books or your supplies, or even just gas money, personal expenses. That's gonna go a long way. In addition, that work experience is gonna help build your resume, so that when you come out of school and you're looking for your job, your real full-time, I'm going to go to work and earn a living sort of job, you've got something that shows that you can work in an organization, whatever organization, even if it's a fast food restaurant, you can work in an organization, you can interact with other people, you can take directions, and you can balance two things at once, school and work. You can balance those things at once. So that's going to go a long way to helping you out. And so consider working part-time, bringing in some money. Then after that's done, you go to the federal student loans. You submit your FAFSA. You take out your federal student loans. You're going to look for direct subsidized loans first, because on subsidized loans, the government pays the interest while you're in school. So no interest, as far as you're concerned, no interest accrues while you're in school. And then after you've maxed out your subsidized loans, and there's the unsubsidized, where the interest does accrue while you're in school, but you're not going to have to make payments. For undergraduate, your total limit is, if you're a dependent, your total limit is $31,000. And if you're an independent undergrad student, it's $57,500 is your cumulative limit for your Stafford loans. The difference between independent and dependent is really a question of whether your parents are footing the bill for you or whether you're footing the bill for yourself. If you're independent, then you're paying for college without assistance from your family. And if you're dependent, then you're paying for college with assistance from your family. It's important to note that even if you're financially self-sufficient and paying for your education on your own, dependency status is going to be determined by your school. So you want to take a close look at that, and you really want to sit down with your family and have a frank discussion, because if you are independent, there are some benefits to that in terms of the amount of federal student loans that you can get, but there are some burdens to that because you're actually paying your way without family help or involvement. So it could make things a little tougher on one side of the coin, or it could make things a little bit easier on another side. So again, you want to have that conversation. And by the way, even if you're dependent, if your parents are denied a federal Parent Plus loan, that's a federal loan that the parent takes out to pay for somebody else's education, pay for the child's education. If your parents were denied a federal Parent Plus loan, then you're eligible to borrow at the independent student limits, even if you are dependent. So that's important. And in that respect, if your parents don't have such good credit, because federal Parent Plus loans are credit-based. So if your parents don't have good credit, or if they're in default on their own federal student loans and so they can't qualify anymore, this may be a way to soften that blow by allowing you to borrow on the dependent level. And finally, look into ways of lowering your real cost of attendance. You know, again, cost of attendance includes tuition and fees. You can't change that. Books and supplies, which you can change. Books and supplies, you can change. You can look into, I've got friends, even when I went to school, and this is quite some time ago, I had friends who shared books. I had friends who, they were in the same class or two classes together, and one would buy one book and the other one would buy the other book, and that lowered their costs of books. Supplies, room and board. It may be that you take a look at the cost of room and board, and maybe you can live off campus. If there's a campus situation, maybe you can live off campus, save a little bit of money. Bunk up with some other folks. That saves some money too. Transportation costs can easily be lowered instead of having a car. Consider mass transit if it's available where you are. Buses, if there's a train or a rail, you may want to do that, depending upon where you go to school. Bicycles, great opportunities for lowering expenses, and also it's great for your health, keeps you healthy. College kids aren't necessarily the healthiest kids in the world. Not getting enough sleep, eating too much pizza, things like that. So look into a bike, or rather than a car, maybe assuming that the weather is decent where you're going to school, take a look at maybe even buying a scooter. Pick up a Vespa or a Vespa-like thing, and instead of spending $40 in gas every week, maybe you're only spending $15. You bring those costs down. Cost of attendance also includes personal expenses. So you can do a lot to lower your personal cost of attendance. Take as little as possible in private student loans. That's the overwhelming advice that I have for you. Lessen the amount of student loans as much as is humanly possible. I'm not telling you to live on ramen noodles, packaged ramen noodles at least. I'm not telling you to live on those packaged ramen noodles. I'm not telling you that you need to live on bread and water. But what you want to do is you want to pay a little bit more attention, and you want to reduce that cost of attendance. You want to go for those grants and scholarships. You want to work part-time. You want to look at your direct student loans. You want to max those out. And you want to do everything possible to lower your real cost of attendance. Once you've gone down that road, those roads, then you can take a look at private student loans. But only then. Don't leap until you absolutely have to. All right? And that's going to save you a lot of money. That's going to save you a lot of headache after you get out of school, after you're in the whole world of repayment. Trust me, it's going to be way, way better for you. I guarantee it. So this has been the Student Loan Show. My name is Jay Fleischman. And if you like the show, please head on over to iTunes. Give us a star rating. Give us some review. Those reviews, please be honest. I'm not just asking for the 5-star review. Certainly, if you think that it's worth it, then go ahead and give us a 5-star review. But I'm asking because I really want to make sure that this podcast is as useful for you as possible. Your feedback is really important to me. If it takes you a minute, 2 minutes tops, put a review into iTunes. I read all of those reviews. So it'll really help me, and it'll really help you get the most value from this show. So head on over to iTunes. And of course, if you think somebody else is going to find this useful, why not share the show? Put a link out on Facebook so your friends see it, or Twitter, or really anywhere that you happen to spend your online time. I'd really appreciate it. So until next time, this has been Jay Fleischman, and you've been listening to The Student Loan Show, and thanks for taking the time to listen to me. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.